get on up to coasttocoastam.com and the highlight carousel. An incredible video. Have you seen this? It's a jaw-dropping video from Poland that shows a motorist speeding towards a roundabout and then failing to turn in time, sending his car flying through the air. And the incredible scene, which was captured on film by a traffic camera, reportedly occurred in the village of Rabien this past Sunday. The community's volunteer fire department subsequently shared the footage on social media as a warning to drivers. And again, our very own Tim Banal has posted that video in the highlight carousel up at coasttocoastam.com. And speaking of coast, coming up Sunday night, tonight into Monday morning, George Knapp. Well, in the first half, he'll speak with retired aerospace analyst Cheryl Costa, who back in 2013 launched the weekly online blog column New York Skies. She'll join George to discuss what she's uncovered during her time reporting on UFO cases. And then in the second half, researcher Paul Sinclair will report on a mysterious paranormal hotspot, the coastal area around Bridlington in the UK, that rivals the Skinwalker Ranch for high strangeness. That's Sunday night into Monday morning with George Knapp right here on Coast to Coast AM. Back to more of my conversation with Preston Dennett about onboard UFO encounters and your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Preston Dennett, onboard UFO encounters. Preston, has anyone in the book, any of these 15 case studies, has anyone figured out how to fight back successfully against an alien abduction?
Yeah, there are a few cases in this book. One case involves a guy by the name of Gary. He's from England. He was born in 1969, started having encounters very early on, was followed home, he and his parents, by a UFO. As a very young child, he had grays coming to his bedroom, scared the wits out of him. Stopped for a while until he was around 20 years old. Wakes up, he's on this cold slab. There's a gray over him, piercing him with a needle. He screamed. It was very painful. He says he got the treatment of a lab rat. It was not pleasant. Started having experiences where he'd float out of his bed and out the window, and that's all he would remember. Stopped for a while and then suddenly started up again. And here's how it all began. He had this experience where he woke up in his bedroom, and there was a strange woman. He first thought it was his wife, but his wife was asleep next to him. He jumps up, and this woman flies up through the ceiling. He screams. His wife wakes up and says, "What's wrong?" He says, "I don't know. I think it may have been a ghost." Well, it wasn't long after that, he wakes up again, and there's this woman again. This time she's on the other side of the bed staring at his wife. He freaks out. He jumps up. The woman is so intent staring at his wife, she doesn't see him. So he reaches out and touches her shoulder and says, "Hello." And he says she absolutely freaked out, pushed him back onto the floor, and dove up through the ceiling again. He screamed. His wife woke up. She didn't see anything. He's like, "I don't know. I think it was that ghost." Except it was weird because, you know, she pushed him. He felt her shoulder. So following this, he started having grays walking around in his house. He went down the stairs once, and there's this gray. Completely freaked him out. He blacked out, woke up back in bed. Had an identical experience a couple of years later where he walks down the stairs, and there's this gray. So he runs up to it and starts throttling it around the neck, grabs its neck, and starts squeezing it, and had it in his grip for a good 10, 20 seconds, was screaming telepathically in his head, "Get off, get off, get off me, let go." And he said it felt cold and leathery, and next thing he knows, something bonks him on the back of the head, and again, he wakes up back in bed. So he's had some violent encounters, and he started to be able to feel them coming. And normally he would be paralyzed when this happened, and started to sort of have less of an effect on him where he could move. And suddenly he woke up, he could feel them in the room, he knew they were there. He whips off his blanket, and sure enough, there's a gray standing right next to his bed. He reaches his fist back and punches his thing in the face. says, you know, these things may look small and helpless and cute to some people, but he says its demeanor completely changed. Its mouth, which was just a slit, became a wide open O, and it showed all its teeth and hissed at him really loudly. I asked him, well, what did the teeth look like? Because I've got a few other accounts like this. He said, actually, they were very small and pointed, which I found interesting because that's exactly what some other witnesses have told me. He said, yeah, this thing was not happy at all. He blacked out after that. But, yeah, he's fighting these things. So there are a few people who are, you know, to some extent, successfully resisting it. There's one lady who finally learned how to do it by just exerting willpower. Whenever she'd have an abduction experience, she'd use intense willpower, and it would break the experience sometimes.
I've heard also of instances where people have used the Jesus prayer, and that has prevented an abduction. Have you heard that?
Yes, there's one case like that in the book, in fact. Ramon, I mentioned his experience earlier where he was, you know, shown hybrid babies, and they tried to make him reproduce. He didn't want to do that. They took samples from him, genetic samples, and he called on Jesus. Yeah, I believe it was. And a religious figure appeared. It wasn't Jesus. He believes it was Michael, the angel, Archangel Michael. And that halted his experience. So, yeah, that does turn up. That's pretty darn rare. I think that's the only case I have of that really ever. But it does happen.
All right, let's go to the wild card line. Charles is in Elgin, Texas. Charles, good morning. Welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it. You had a guest on. Suspected that many of these UFOs might be time travelers, and I can understand why they might even want to be visiting these days because we got a lot of stuff going on. We were just talking to a guy, Corey Mann X. He's got a YouTube channel. He's over in Austin right now. They're having demonstrations and things like that because of this shutdown here. Once Texas opened up again. Anyway, so my question would be for Preston. Does he recall any abductees, reporting, time shifts, that sort of thing? And also, I guess that would be the main question. There's probably some other things that could be asked, but I suppose Preston probably could figure out something relevant.
All right. Listen, Charles, there's a clicking on your line, so if you don't mind taking the answer off the air. And I think the guest you were referring to was Michael P. Masters. He was on Coast to Coast. Oh, about a year ago, he had a book called Identified Flying Objects, and he's an anthropology professor. And this is one of his theories, that UFOs, in fact, are time machines from the future. These are, our descendants coming back to study us, some part of an anthropological experiment. All right, Preston, did you want to discuss that, the idea that they could be time travelers?
Yeah, it's definitely a theory. You know, I think the extraterrestrial theory is the best one we have. I think it's the one that fits the evidence best, but I'm not married to it. But time travelers is definitely a possibility. There are a number of cases that speak directly to that. And certainly these grays and, you know, all the ETs, rather, do have a control of time in a way that we don't understand. As an example, there was one case in the book involving Lynette, who found herself being pulled out of her house and is floating through the sky. There's two grays on either side of her. She's got kind of a fear of heights, and she's thinking, I'm going to fall. And they kept reassuring her, saying, no, you won't fall. You're fine. You won't fall. And she looks down on the road. This is at night, and the road is filled with cars, but they're not moving, and everyone's perfectly still. By all, you know, ob- observations, it looks like time has stopped. And I'm thinking to myself, because I've got other cases like this where, you know, people are frozen in place. What is going on here? Is time really stopped? I just cannot imagine that, you know, even grays have the power to stop time throughout the entire universe, or even in a small area. So I don't know if people are being pulled out of a time stream or something, or I don't know. I do have some cases where ETs do seem to have directly time traveled. This was in another book, Inside UFOs, where a guy, apparently traveled back in time with the ETs. He was taken to a place where someone's home and described things that were true, but it was, you know, 10, 20 years in the past. So there's something to that for sure. I don't know if I'm ready to say that, you know, grays are our children from the future, but it could very well be because they're hybridizing with us, and some grays have, you know, said basically that. Yeah, we are them, they are us.
Charles, thanks for the call. As you were talking about this time effect and people feeling as if time slowed down or stopped, it reminded me, I had a with May Pang, who was, there was a period in the early to mid 70s when John Lennon was estranged from Yoko Ono, and he ended up living with May Pang, who I believe was an assistant to Yoko Ono. In fact, Lennon moved in with Pang at Yoko's insistence, and they had an apartment in the village, I think. And there's this very famous UFO sighting that they had. This thing was like flying over the Hudson River or the East River. I'm not sure. I'm not intimately familiar with the geography around Manhattan, but it was one of those two rivers. And they, I think it was May Pang who described, as they watched this craft going past their apartment, they looked around and everyone who was out on their patios, they seemed to be frozen in time. So is it possible that the craft, the propulsion system or whatever they're using, is having this kind of, creating this time dilation?
I wouldn't think that it's necessarily the propulsion or an accidental field effect. I feel like they're directing it towards people. But, you know, it's definitely a possibility. We don't understand quite what's going on. But it's certainly something I hear quite often. People describe it in different ways. They'll say there was a sense of timelessness while they're watching an object. I think people may have missing time very easily and not know it. I mean, there was one years ago I interviewed this lady about an encounter she had at her home, called her back a couple of weeks later for a follow-up interview. She not only did not remember the encounter, she did not remember me interviewing her. The entire incident was completely erased from her. I had her on tape, so I knew it was a true case, or, you know, something happened, but she had no memory of it whatsoever. So what's going on there?
You tell me. You tell me, my friend. All right, wild card line again. Daniel is in Arkansas. Daniel, welcome to Coast AM. You're on the line with Preston Dennett.
Hello, gentlemen. I'll have to apologize if I get emotional. I've been reviewing what I'd like to say while you guys have been talking. I've been listening and reviewing an event that happened decades ago, but I won't share too many details, but and then I'll ask if this is common. Like I said, I won't share too many details, but being inside something very large with no corners, everything was curved, and being left alone to wander seemingly for not very long until I found a room. Once again, everything with no sharp edges, no doors with sharp edges, just openings as though this was organic. Like a shell, possibly. But anyway, then I find, being alone, children, which I won't describe at all, but they were children, I would say the ages of 8 to 12, and then finding that they were interested in me and I was interested in them, and we ended up playing games, which they introduced me to. But anyway, then becoming, after a significant amount of time, being aware that we were being observed. Well, the question is this a common thing which you have run into with humans and some interaction that evidently they are interested in?
Yeah, Daniel, that's a great question, and the answer would be yes. I certainly have heard that before. Often it's with children being taken to see other children and playing games of various sorts, sometimes mental games like telepathy or even like telekinesis or things like that. Sometimes it's just toys and are being observed. This happens with people being taken on board and shown hybrid babies as well. People feel like they're being observed and told to hold these babies and give them affection. There does seem to be some sort of studying of human behavior and an interest in that and sort of replicating it among the grays or the hybrids. But yeah, I've definitely heard that. It's not super common, but I've heard it enough to say that it's certainly a consistent feature. But not super common, though.
Daniel, is this a recurring scenario for you, or was this just a memory?
I'm one of those people who have been observed for I'm sorry, a long time. So
that's okay, Daniel.
Well,
is it a painful memory for you? Is it a painful memory?
I don't understand why I got emotional before while I was listening. This already happened to me, getting very emotional about this. And I don't, you know, yes, I would say it does seem as though it's an abuse sort of a thing. Various things that have happened.
Preston?
Preston, I understand.
What can you recommend for Daniel?
These kind of emotions, these memories can have a lot of emotion packed into them. So it is difficult to process. I think one of the most difficult things about this experience is the lack of control. So that's something a lot of witnesses struggle with, not only trying to understand what's going on, but not being able to control it. So I think that's where a lot of people have trouble dealing with this experience. And the best you can do is try and understand what's happening to you and get a level of control where you overcome the fear and are able to interact with these guys on a more equal level. I've got cases where people overcome their fear and they don't experience the paralysis. They're treated very nicely. They've had very positive experiences. But each case is individual. So very hard to say.
Daniel, do me a favor. Hold on. I'd like to talk to you during the next segment. Could you do that, Daniel?
Hold on.
Not sure if we've lost. Could, if you feel like it. All right, okay. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, welcome back. And if you like what you're hearing tonight and you want to find out more about what I do and how you can listen to some of my other projects, go to my website, strangeplanet.ca. Strangeplanet.ca, that's your portal to my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, and my podcast, Conspiracy Unlimited, as well as my YouTube channel, Strange Planet, and my Strange Planet shop. It's all there, strangeplanet.ca. And if you register at strangeplanet.ca, you'll receive my free monthly newsletter in Inner Sanctum, the Inner Sanctum, strangeplanet.ca. Last segment, we were speaking with Daniel from Arkansas. Daniel, are you still there?
Yes.
Are you still there, Daniel?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I want to commend you. It was very courageous of you to call in. And I know as you were remembering this possible alien abduction, it was very, it brought up some emotions to the surface. And I didn't want to let you go without asking you about, you know, whether you've sought any help in this regard, because obviously this is something that, you know, it's traumatic, it's confusing you, and it's, you know, it's causing you some pain, emotional pain. Are you speaking to anyone about it? Have you sought out help?
Well, I was laughing while the gentleman was talking about some of his people have said things like, I have been to the psychiatrist and I've not been found guilty of any particular maladies, et cetera. I have been for depression. And unfortunately, I don't seem to be suffering from anything that needs, I wanted a pill. I just said, please, Lord, give me a pill to make this depression stop. But anyway, they've said I'm not needful of counseling or drugs. I don't have schizophrenia or any, you know, bipolar disorder. But I do have major depression from chronic pain from a car accident. But anyway, I've never talked to anybody ever. My brother likes all this stuff about UFOs, and he wants to talk about it, but I never, ever talk about it. Anything. I've never talked to anybody before about
Daniel,
anything.
Would you be open to speaking to a hypnotherapist?
I have been to a hypnotherapist about a dream that I've had, that I had. But yes, I believe that there could be some positive outcome from doing something like that.
Right, because as you said, you know, you're confused about what's been happening to you, and that's causing you obviously some emotional pain. If you would be open to speaking with a hypnotherapist, I'd like to try and facilitate that. Would you be, if you're open to that, I would ask that you leave your, perhaps your email, your name and your email with Mike Cozio back in studio, and then I can facilitate a hypnotherapist that I've had on Coast a number of times. Dr. Elena Gabor has dealt with abductees, and I think she could help you. I can't promise, but I think she can help you. Would you be open to that?
And this would be something that would be private and
absolutely. I would just, once I set this up, I would step out of the way I'd put you in touch with Dr. Gabor.
Okay. I'm sorry, I just got.
All right.
Yeah, it's I'm not a big giant crybaby usually, but this is making me literally shake. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yes, I'll hang on.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Terrific. Daniel, I really want to see you get some help. I feel for you, buddy. Hang in there. Okay. Help is on the way. So we'll put you on hold. Mike will take down his particulars, and then Michael, if you could forward that information to me, and I'll see if I can set something up with Dr. Gabor, hypnotherapist, and she's a past life regression therapist as well. She does terrific work. All right, we'll take a quick time out, come back, and continue our discussion with Preston Dennett about onboard UFO encounters right here on Coast to Coast AM. All right, we're back with Preston Dennett, onboard UFO encounters. That was a tough call from Daniel in Arkansas, and I hope we can get him some help. Preston, do you find with a lot of these cases that the emotions are raw? These people are really, really hurting.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for it. These are very peak experiences. They challenge people on multiple levels, physically, emotionally, spiritually. They don't have a lot of people to talk to about it. I always recommend people to write down your experiences. Hypnosis can definitely help reduce anxieties. It's something I would recommend if someone's having, you know, a lot of anxiety about it. It can be very helpful. Meditation as well. talking to other people who've had experiences, support groups. That's very helpful. So there are techniques and ways to cope with this. There are resistance techniques as well. So yeah, we're still learning a lot about how to deal with this.
All right, let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, Charlie is in Culver City, California. Charlie, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, Preston. Hey, Richard. How are you guys doing tonight? I'm out here. I live in Culver City, Mar Vista area, just east of where Preston lives. I think he lives in Malibu. Preston, I've heard about all the abductions that happened along the one corridor between Point Lagoon in Santa Monica, and I know you wrote the book, the incident over Topanga. I graduated from Venice High in 1992. We used to go up there and drink, and we were lucky not to have an encounter when we used to go drinking up there in 92 from the book you put together, if I wanted to tell you that offhand.
Yeah, it's definitely a very active area. The Pacific Coast Highway stretching from like Santa Barbara at the north end all the way down through Malibu, Santa Monica, Venice, all the way to, Rancho Palos Verdes and even farther. You can't go a mile, really, without there being a significant encounter, whether it's in the water out there, a lot of USO activity, but as well inland, very active area.
Anything else, Charlie? What else happened?
Yeah, I've seen a light orb go from one light orb to two, and then one went to the southwest and one went east, and it went east towards JPL, which is a weird thing. And I looked at encounters and previous reports from a lot of other stuff. We have a lot, Richard and Preston, we got a lot of weird stuff happening around here. We had a nuclear incident over at Rocketdyne over in Bell Canyon in West Valley, the West Hills area. There's a lot of activity around UFOs and nuclear sites and stuff like that. We did have a little nuclear meltdown over here in the valley. Other things is that, Preston wrote the thing in 92 about the Topanga incident. And it just seems like there's a lot of activity going on out in this area with the islands out here. You got Point Lagoon. I wonder if it's safe to go hiking around Point Lagoon State Park. I know the Navy got the thing on the mountaintop. I'm scared to go to that area. I even go around there. What do you got to say?
In terms of it being an active area, the possibility of an abduction experience is certainly a higher probability than another area. I'm not sure that I would say it's dangerous or that this is a real danger for people, but it does happen. Yeah, it's definitely a very active area. I've got a number of abduction cases from these areas. But overall, in my humble opinion, having talked to a lot of people who've had onboard experiences, I don't think the ET's agenda is to harm people or scare them or hurt them. I have no evidence of that. That's not their agenda. So I don't think this is necessarily a dangerous phenomenon.
All right, Charlie, thank you for that. You say not dangerous, but then we have a caller like Daniel. This has really seriously done a number, intended or unintended. They are hurting people.
Yeah. Not all cases are, puppies and rainbows by any means. You do have a full spectrum, and the whole abduction phenomena is very problematic because we're dealing with essentially a crime, kidnapping. That's illegal in any country pretty much on Earth. So that's a real problem that the Grays have. They don't seem to understand human emotions. There was a case from Constance Clear involving a gentleman from Texas who had repeated abductions, and finally he had one. He recalled it under hypnosis, and the Gray was telling him, "Aren't you happy? We're finished our project with you. We won't need to abduct you anymore. We're done. Aren't you happy?" He said, "No, I'm mad as hell." And the female Gray said, "What's mad and what's hell?" And so he had to, basically explain it to her. And she said, "Oh, we do have a lot of problems with human emotions." So they don't seem to understand, our levels of fear. It's not something that they really experience, a lot of them at least.
All right. First-time caller Annie is in Pine Cliff, Colorado. Annie, welcome to Coast.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've been listening and just putting all kinds of pieces together, and I'd like to talk about damage to family members. My brother also left home at 17 and joined the Marines and was sent off to Camp Pendleton at about the same time as Ramon. And after about 2 months after he completed his basic, we were notified that he had gone AWOL, and everybody was really shocked because he seemed like he was very happy being a Marine. The next thing, we were notified that he had been given the option to either get thrown in the brig for the rest of his term, 4 or 6 years, or to be shipped out to Vietnam, and they shipped him out like 2 days later. He was in a major firefight about a month later, having arrived in Vietnam, and they shipped him back to the States for medical care. And for a full year, they would not let us contact him, either by phone. We tried to go there in person to see him, and they would not give us any information, would not let us have any communication with him whatsoever. And my father and I tried everything. We contacted our congressman, and all he could tell us was there was nothing he could do. And then suddenly, after a year, he showed up in my bedroom one night and just hugged me for an hour, just sobbing. And he never, ever spoke about what happened. And I don't believe he has any memory of what went on for that full year. I think they did some kind of a memory wipe on him or something, because he's not the same person. He and I were extremely close. We always have been. We still are. But there's a whole part of his personality that's missing. And I just wondered if Preston believes that our government and military is complicit in this experimentation.
Yeah, Manny, wow, my heart goes out to you. I have to say, Camp Pendleton has been implicated in that sort of thing. There's a lot of UFO accounts coming out of that area. Crash retrieval reports. I remember there's one from Leonard Stringfield involving crashed UFOs. This is what Ramon reported. He feels like he was a victim of some sort of mind control experiment. I do think this is something that does take place, and I'm very concerned about it.
Annie, was your brother? I mean, did he hint that he may have been taken on board a craft, or do you think the military wiped his memory? What do you think happened to him?
I don't know, but he's totally unable to talk about it. And I think if he would talk to anybody in the world, it would be me. And he just gets this blank look in his eyes and backs away. You know, we go camping and rock hounding together and stuff like that, and have a lot of quiet times where he could open up if he wanted to, but it's gone. I don't think he even knows what I'm trying to raise with him. But it's just haunted me all my life. And my father died not knowing what happened to him.
I'm so sorry, Annie. I'm so sorry. I hope he can get some help somehow. I pray he can get some help. Thank you for calling. It was very brave of you. Wow, Preston, what do you do with that?
Yeah, you know, my first goal whenever I talk to someone is to help them in whatever way I can, provide them with information. Someone to talk to is sometimes all these people, I mean, really need. At least first to start with. Many of these people have been diagnosed with PTSD. That certainly happened to the witness Tony I mentioned earlier. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, you have PTSD. He couldn't imagine why. So yeah, this can really affect people emotionally, and when you start combining, you know, our own military co-opting people, yes, this is very concerning. And I hope he can get help and she as well, because I think there are a lot of people who are dealing with this sort of thing.
Right. It's not just the victims themselves. It's the family who have to, you know, try and pick up the pieces. I think we have time for one more quick call on the wild card line. Paul is in Boston. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to Coast.
Morning, boy. Those are three tremendous calls. God bless you for bringing help out for those people. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Paul. What do you have for us?
Yeah, well,
yes, Paul, you know, we can hear you.
15 years ago, I was driving my truck back from work at night. It was one of those nights where your headlights don't light anything up. It was just a wet, you know, it's that wet night. And all of a sudden, my truck starts to raise, and I'm doing a right-hand turn 30 feet above the ground, and I'm saying, whoa. And a voice says to me very softly, it's all right, don't worry about it. And I know I'm up at 30 feet. My headlights are picking up the tall buildings and industrial buildings around me. And I'm on the eastbound side of Route 9. And I wind up, when I finally came out of, I guess I went to a stupor afterwards. When I came out, I was on the westbound side of Route 9, and there's no way I could get that way. And I was 10 minutes back up the other way. So by the time I turned around and got back to where I was, I had lost, it's 10 minutes out and 10 minutes back, that's 20 minutes. And I was still only shy 10 minutes when I got home. And I never found anything, no marks, nothing. Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, we call those car lift
Preston,
cases.
Car lift cases. They take the whole car and put it back down.
Right. It can be sometimes just a couple of feet. Sometimes it's 10, 20 feet. Sometimes it's more, 30 feet. There's cases like this. Quite a number of them. It's not really common, but certainly I've heard this happening many times. That happened during the Topanga Canyon wave. I know a case in Nevada. A bunch of cases where cars are just lifted up. I think it's part of...
All right, Paul, thank you for the call. Preston, we are out of time. Very quickly, how do we get a copy of Onboard UFO Encounters?
You can go to my website, contact me through my website as well, also available on Amazon.com. If you Google my name, it should take you right to my website. Yeah, I always love hearing from people, whether they've got a question or a comment or a story to share. So, yeah, really appreciate you having
terrific.
The show.
And we've linked up to the website, Preston Dennett, at Coast to Coast AM. Thank you so much, my friend. For George Norrie, George Napoli's Alliance, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Chris Burrows, Sean Latasore, Michael Cozio, and Donna Walker, and here in Toronto, Paul Gatt. I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until next Saturday, so long for now.